Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Ksuvos Daf Nun Hey. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Rosbeck Rivka Bas Aaron David. All the Nishmas we learn first and never leave from our learning. As we enter Chodesh Elul, so we have to start thinking already of the days that we won't be able to give the Shir because of Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and possibly even Yom Kippur, although the Shir could be heard that night. Therefore, I'm going to try to speed up on some of the days and do a blot and a half, so we'll be, Ezes Hashem, be in better position by the end of Sukkot. So, we'll today, Mitzvah Hashem, do Nun Hey, and as well, hopefully, Nun Vov Amud Aleph. So we begin four lines from the top, Nun Hey, Omud Aleph, with the words Itmar. Send the Beis Medrash, that we'll have four machlokas in now between the Talmidei Chacham and the Beis Din in Pumbedisa and the Talmidei Chacham and the Beis Din in Maso Mechasya, two places in Babel. So we start off with the first one, Itmar. They said in the Beis Medrash, Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. This concept of Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, which we've been talking about, which I won't explain now, but hopefully everybody remembers what it is. So in the Beis Medrash in Pumbedisa, in the Beis Din in Pumbedisa, Pumbedisa Amre, they said, Lo Torfa Mimishu Badi. When those children come to collect that aspect of the estate that was brought in by their mother, and they have a priority to it over the children from other wives of the husband when the husband passes away, so those other children would normally inherit everything evenly with them, but not the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. So the Beis Medrash in Pumbedisa said that you're not allowed to go and collect this from properties that are Mishubat. In other words, if they had been given over to somebody else, they were sold to somebody else, so there's a argument that you can make that there's a prior lien on those properties by these children. So in Pumbedisa, they said, no, we don't collect from Mishu Badi. We don't collect from property that was leaned and is now in somebody else's possession. Why not? Because they say that the Ksuba said, Yirsun Tanan. When the Ksuba says that the children from the mother, the sons from the mother, have a right to inherit, Yarsun, they have a right to inherit those properties, but if they were sold to somebody else, and now there's theoretically a prior lien on them, that doesn't apply to Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. As opposed to the Talmidei Chacham, the based in Masa Mechasya, B'nei Masa Mechasya, I mean, no, Tarpa Mimishu Badi, because they held that the language in the Mishnah was Yisvun Tznan. It will be given over to you, not inherited, you'll be given over to it. Rashi says, Lashon of Bal Chov, and therefore, they're entitled to go and take this from the person that the father had sold the property to. So, again, they're arguing about what the proper girsa was, and that's the fundamental understanding of the machlokas. In Pumbedisa, they said the Mishnah is the girsa that we had it, which was yirsun, to inherit, whereas the girsa that the Talmidei Chacham and Masa Mechasya had was yisvun, that you shall get it. You're entitled to it as a bal chov. You have a prior lien on it, and therefore the lekuchas, when they purchased it, had the understanding when the Ksuas Benin Dichrin kicks in, so they would have to obviously give it up. In the stomach, they would pay less for it because they know that there's a time-limited potential over here. In any event, how do we paskin? So the Gemara says, Behilchasa, in this situation, lo torfa mi mishu badi. We follow the opinion of the Talmidei Chachamim in Pumbedisa. They had the girsa, as we have it in our Mishnah, yirsun tanan and not yisvun tanan. Okay, the next machlokes between Pumbedisa and Masa Mechasya goes as follows. Metaltali, if a woman was designated as her for her ksuba to have certain metaltali. So the ksuba is worth $100,000, and there's certain movable properties. The guy owns five cars, and he says, okay, these cars are going to be designated. The husband says, these are designated for your ksuba. The isnahu be'enayu. And at the time Nebuchadnezzar, the husband passes away, those five cars are still there. They're extant. So the woman is allowed to go and take them below Shua. Everybody agrees that the woman can go take them in that situation. We don't have to worry that she took the ksuba already, that the husband had given her what we call tsroros, and the husband had given her little bits and pieces of the ksuba throughout, and normally she would have to swear that she didn't take anything else, and then she can collect this. But here, since these were designated and they're still here, there's no reason to assume or suspect that the husband had given her something else or that she had taken something else for her ksuba. So here she can go collect these metaltali below Shvuah, because they're extant, so mistama, there was nothing else. However, lisnahu beinayu, if these aren't here, so the rest of the estate is still responsible to go and pay her ksuba, so she wants to go collect the ksuba from the rest of the estate, so then the Pumbedisa Amre, in Pumbedisa, they said, she was also allowed to collect that with below Shvuah, whereas in B'nai Masa Mechasya, the Talmidim of Masa Mechasya said, no, she'd have to make a Shvuah in that situation. We do have to be concerned that she actually had taken some of the ksuba, what we call the tsrari, and therefore she might have taken them, and therefore she has to go and make a shvuah. How do we paskin? Here again, we paskin like Pumbedisa, that no shvuah is necessary, below shvuah. The third machlok is between these two batei medrash. Yiched lo ara bi arba matzrinoha. The husband said, obviously the whole ksuba is going to be, all my properties are going to pay it off, but I'm designating this specific property to be yours. And he designates it with the four boundaries. The mitzranah are the boundaries. So this land, it's clearly demarcated. It has boundaries on all four sides, so we know for a fact that this was the land that she was given for primarily to pay for her ksuba. So Nebuch the husband dies, so we don't have to be concerned that the woman, in fact, had gotten sorry that she had taken part of her ksuba already, and therefore she would normally have to swear that she didn't take anything else here in this situation, since this piece of land was clearly demarcated to be hers, so therefore she can take it below shvur. We have no concern that she was given extra money already for her ksuba because this land was so clearly marked. However, if it was only marked on one side, b'chad mitzra, so then that's where the machlokas is going to be between Pumbedisa and Masa Machasya. And Pumbedisa Amrei, in the Tamidei Chacham in Pumbedisa said, she can collect this as well below Shvua, because it does have one mark, one side is clearly marked, so therefore it is going to be something which it's marked, and therefore she knows she's going to collect from there. We have no reason to suspect that she got another payment already for her ksuba, and she can collect without a Shvua. As opposed to the B'nai Masa Machasi Ami B'Shvur. No, she has to go make a Shvur because it's not so clearly marked and maybe she wasn't so certain that she'll get this and therefore she took other things for her Ksuba and she's already been paid back part of her Ksuba. How do we paskin over here? Again, we paskin in all the three first cases like Pumpadisa. We see in the fourth case we paskin like Masa Machasya, but in the first three cases, Hilchas or below Shvur, just like they said in Pumpadisa, that she can collect this even with only B'chad Metzra without a Shvur. The fourth and final machlokas between these two bati medrash is as follows. If a person says to the witnesses, go and write this document, whatever it is, v'chismu and sign on it, v'havule, and go give it to the person, let's say it's an IOU, the person's writing an IOU, I agree, I owe you $100,000, so he tells the edim, you can sign this, that I'm admitting to this, and give it to him. So if they did a kinyan, if they made an actual kinyan at the time that the edim signed this and wrote it, so then the kinyan is made, and therefore lo tzorich in luchebe, they don't have to go back and ask him, because once the kinyan is made, it's a done deal, he can't retract it. And therefore, if they made a kinyan on this, so they don't have to go back and ask him, are you sure you want us to give it to him before they give it to him? However, lo konamine, he just told them, kisu v'chisu v'havule, and they didn't make a kinyan, so then we have a machlokas. In Pumpadisa, the Tamidei Chacham in Pumpadisa army, they said, lo tzorichim luchebe. They said, the guy asked you to do it. You don't have to go back and constantly ask him again, you sure you want us to do this? And once he told them to do it, even though no kinyan was made, they can go and write it and sign it and give it to him without re-asking him again, despite the fact that no kinyan was made, and technically he could retract. However, the B'nai Menasseh Machasi Amri, they said, no, since he could technically retract, you have to go and ask him again. Before you actually go and do it, you have to go and ask him because he has the halachic right to retract, so you have to make sure he hasn't retracted. And here we paskin like this latter opinion of the Masa Machasya, Hilchazot Tzorech Luchabe, we do concern ourselves that maybe he wants to retract, which he's halachically allowed to do if no kinyan was made, and therefore Tzorech Luchabe. We paskin like Masa Machasya, Tamidei Chachamim, that you have to go and ask again, are you sure you want us to give it before they actually give it if no kinyan was made? Now we quote the next part of the Mishnah where it said, Rabbi Elazar ben Zayah v'chule, Rabbi Elazar ben Zayah said that the woman has the right to get the full ksuba only after nisuin. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagrees with Tanakama. Tanakama had said that she gets the full ksuba, including the Tosefes ksuba, even if the husband dies after the erusin. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that in a situation where the husband, Rahman al-Islam, dies only after the erusin, not before they had nisuin, so then she's only getting the mana masayim. She only gets the mana if she's an amana, and she gets the masayim if she's a basula, but she doesn't get the Tosefes ksuba. And his rationale was because Mistama, the husband, only wrote that to be taking effect at the time of the nisuin. So we're assuming, right now that's our assumption, that we're assuming that we're reading what his intention was, even though he didn't state so, that the base ksuba, the mana or masayim, that was from the time of erusin. But the extra tosefes ksuba that he threw in, because he loves her so much, is only going to take effect at the time of the nisuin, when his love, so to say, will be demonstrated that he's actually marrying her. If the marriage doesn't go through, he never intended to go and give the tosefes ksuba. That's a simple understanding of Elazar ben Azariah. Now we have a machlokas. It might send the base medrash that Rav, the Rabbi Nosson, arguing on how we paskin over here. Chadama, we don't know which one at this point, said, Halach Yerubel Ezra ben Azariah. Do we paskin like Ezra ben Azariah that the widow is not entitled to collect the Tosefet Ksuba until there's Nisuin, but not after Erusin? And the other one, we don't know which one, Chadama, ain't Halach Yerubel Ezra ben Azariah. Do we paskin like the Chum that the widow goes and collects the Tosefet Ksuba even after just Erusin? Now, the Gemara wants to suggest, this Dayan, let us bring a raya, the Rabbi Nosson, who the Omer, Halachi Willaz ben Azariah, let us bring a raya from the following scenario, that Rabbi Nosson is the one that says we pass like Willaz ben Azariah. Again, Willaz ben Azariah's understanding is that we look into the person's thoughts. We do what's called an umdana, an estimation of what he was intending. And we assume that he only intended to give the Tosefet Ksuba after the Nisuin. That's what Willaz ben Azariah's understanding. And we want to now show that Rabbi Nosson also holds this concept of umdana. The Shamina Leila Rabbi Nosson, the Ozul Bosar umdana. That he, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we see another case where Rabbi Nosson holds umdana. So Mistame, he's the one that says like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because he holds umdana. Where is that? The Amar Rabbi Nosson, Halachik Rabbi Shimon Shazuri b'misukan. And we turn to Nunhei Amid Beis. And also Ubitumas Maiseh Shel Demai. So what are we talking about over here? We see that Rabbi Nosson holds like the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Shazuri in regards to Masukan. What's a Masukan? So Rashi tells us over here that Masechus Gittin, this is the Rashi Diba Masel Masukan, he brings down from Masechus Gittin that it says, a man, Rechman al-Islam, is going out on a caravan, which is very dangerous. So he doesn't want his wife to be an aguda. If he doesn't come back, he's not going to know, and or he doesn't want his wife to go and have to be married to his brother. They don't have children, so he doesn't want her to become a Shomeris Yavam. So he says, Kisu get li ishti. And he says, go write and get for my wife, because I'm going off on this dangerous trip, and you know, he's not a Kohen, so if he comes back, I'll remarry her again. So afal pi shalomer etnu, but he forgot to say, give it to her. He just said, write it for her. So hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. We do that, in fact, in that situation, allow them to write the get, and actually to give it to the wife, because even though he didn't say, give it to her. That's obviously what he meant. The reason why he didn't say it was the machmas tirdoso shubol anasho, since he's going off on his dangerous caravan through the desert with no guarantees he's coming back. So he's very nervous about his life. That's why he didn't say, go and give it to her. Lo speaku ligbar dvaru. He didn't finish off his words properly. And certainly, meikarwa, he intended lekosvo utnu niskamin. He certainly intended that they should write it and give it to her, not just to write it to make fun of her and to make her, I'm getting a get. Oh, I'm not getting a get. He had no intention of doing that psychological mischief with her. He intended, obviously, to give it to her. So everybody agrees to that. But along comes Rav Shimon Shazuri and says, furthermore, Omer Atha Mesukon, he says, in addition to the Mesukon, Hagoseis, if a person is a Goseis, we go and say as well, if the Goseis said, Kisu get, but he didn't say, Yitnu, so he obviously meant Yitnu as well. And therefore, we follow Bosar Umdun Daita. We follow what we assume is the Shriv Meira's understanding. This Go says, Damrina, Lo Amar Kisu Elish Yitnu. He obviously meant write it to give it. Hol Masukinu, since he's a sick person, Lo Niskavit Litzachiba. He's obviously not trying to do psychological warfare with her and play with her. No, he's obviously intending to give it. So we see the Rabbi Nosson holds like Rav Shimon Shazuri in regards to this Masukin case, which is an Umdana case. Oh, must be Rav Nosson holds like Rav Elazar ben Azariah in the Umdana case. And similarly, in Vitrumas Maisa, we're again on Nunhei Amud Beis. Now, Vitrumas Maisa, Shol Demai, this is a situation, Rashi tells us again, this is a Mishnah in Demai. Demai is, again, something that most of the Amoratsim took off Trumas and Maisas, but the small percentage didn't. And after a while, the rabbi said that when you purchase something from Amoratsim, we have to be concerned that they didn't take off Meiser Rishon, and therefore Trumas Meiser, and therefore you have to take it off again. Now what happens in this situation, Rashi explains, if the person purchased something from an Amma Aretz, he takes off his own Meiser Rishon, and he divides off the Trumas Meiser, and then it refalls back into the original entire pile of grain, let's say, that he purchased from this Amma Aretz. So now there's no way to correct this, because you can't take off Trumas Maisis from it from someplace else, because maybe it's Menachi of Alapater. Maybe this really had Trumas Maisis taken from it. So there's no way that he can go and take it off over here. So he's going to be stuck with a huge financial loss, because this can't be sold to anybody but a Kohen. And it's also only able to be by a Kohen when he's tar. So you have to treat this with Kedusha's Truma. And therefore, there's not a lot of people that want to buy this. And instead of, let's say, being worth $10,000, he's only going to sell it for $1,000. So therefore, it's a tremendous financial loss. So along comes Rav Shimon Shazuri in this Mishnah in Demai, and he tells us that we're allowed to go and ask the Amma Aretz over here and say, did you or did you not take off Maisos from this produce that you sold to the chaver, to the Talmud Chacham. And if he says, I took off Trumas of Isis, we allow him to be believed. And therefore, you therefore are not considering this all as demai and as a mixture of taruvis of Truma and Chulin, and anybody can eat this, even a Yisrael. If he says, of course, he didn't take it off, so then, now we have no problem. You go and be mafrish against it from someplace else, and there is no problem. So, in this situation, we see the Rabbi Shimon Shazuri also is looking at the person's intention over here. And the Chiddush over here is this, even on a weekday, because there is an opinion that everybody agrees to, that for Shabbos, you'd be allowed to rely upon this. If you didn't know, did he or did he not take off, and now you want to eat it on Shabbos, you can rely upon the Shabbos. So Shimon Shazuri comes along and says, even on a weekday. So therefore, we see again that Rav Shimon Shazuri is the one who holds, and Rabbi Nosson holds like him, in regards to Umdana. So it must be that since Rabbi Lozman is out here, we're assuming he's Umdana as well, and Rav Nosson clearly shows that he holds from Umdana, so let's assume that it was Rav Nosson who holds like Rav Lozman Isaiah, and Rav doesn't. So more questions. And Rav doesn't hold from Umdana? Rav lo ozu basar Umdana? It's only Rav Nosson that holds from Umdana? Rav also holds from Umdana. Because we learn in the following scenario, matna shchiv me Rav, person nechbach on his deathbed, when he gives a matana, so it's kiksuvim umesurim dami. All he has to do is say, give this to so-and-so, give this to so-and-so, and it's as if they wrote an actual star, and it was signed, and it was given over, kiksuvim umesurim dami. And this is because the shchiv me Rav is in a very precarious position, and if he's concerned about something, he wants to give this over before he dies, and we don't allow it to be considered given over, it's going to cause him anguish, and it may cause him to precipitate his death early. So therefore, the rule is, matnas shchiv meira, a matana from shchiv meira doesn't require a formal kinyan, doesn't require a shtar, but kich suvin u chimesurin domi. But we view it, just by saying so, that it's already given over. Obviously, if he doesn't die, so then it doesn't go over. That's a matnas shchiv meira. But what happens if he added on to it, shekosuv bo kinyan? Instead of just saying, yeah, it's kich suvin u chimesurin domi, they did a kinyan sudar, and they wrote it up, and they wrote a document over here, on this matnas shchiv meira that didn't need a document. So, what's the halacha? So, b'dei Rav, mishmei de Rav, in the base measure of Rav, they said over the name of Rav, Amrei, that arkivei atrei rikshei, that this sick person was trying to have the best of both worlds. He's riding on two horses. In other words, he wants to make sure that it has, as we'll see in a moment, the advantages of a matnas shchiv meira, but also the advantages of a kinyan. We'll see in a moment what the advantages of each are. As opposed to Shmuel, doesn't hold from this. Shmuel Amar lo yadana my edom by. Says Shmuel says, I don't know how we treat this. Do we say that this is both, as Rav said, or do we say that the fact that he wrote a kinyan uproots the fact that it was a matnas shchiv meira, and therefore this document only is taking effect after the death of the person? And guess what? A document can't take place after the death of a person, and therefore there is nothing over here. It's all null and void. So Shmuel says, we don't know what to do in this situation. Rav says, it has the best of both worlds. Shmuel says, it's the worst of both worlds. It's not a matnas shchiv meira, and it's not a regular kinyan as well. Now we'll see a little bit more of the understanding. Bebei Rav, Mishmei de Rav, Amrei, Arkevi Atrei Yerichshei. So we said, in the base medrash of Rav, they said over the name of Rav, that the man has the best of both worlds. He has this as a matana of a shchiv meira and a kinyan. So that's Harehi Kimatnas Bari, Harehi Kimatnas Shchiv meira. It has the best of both worlds. It's considered both. In other words, this is what we're assuming the person wanted. And therefore, here we see that Rav also holds from Umdana, because we're going into this person's mind, so to say, and said, why did he do both? The Matnas Shchiv Meira would have been fine. Why did he also write a kinyan? Oh, it's because he wanted to have the strength of both a Matnas Shchiv Meira and a Matnas Bari, a regular kinyan. So why is that? So the Gemara says, Harik Matnas Bari, Harik Matnas Shchiv Meira. How? Harei Kimatnas Bari, it has the halachic status of Matnas Bari, the Im Amad in Yoholazbo. This man wanted to give this present to his friend and show him how much he loves him. And he says, I want you to know, you're getting this no matter what. Normally, Matnas Shchiv Meira, if I get better, well, obviously I didn't intend to give it to you. But here, I'm writing in a kinyan to show you that even if I get better, I'm giving you over this item. So it has the strength of a Matnas Bari that it can't be retracted. I gave it over in a kinyan, and therefore it can't be retracted. However, he also wants it to have the strength of Matnas Shchiv Meira. Harehi Kimatnas Shchiv Meira. And what is that? Shim Omar Halva Osi Liploni. In fact, Halva Oso Liploni. It does work. In other words, he's able to transfer over this IOU just by stating so. Now, we should point out, it's a little bit of complicated sugya. Rashi explains this, that you can't do this with a Kenyan suitor. This would not have worked to transfer over a loan like this with a Kenyan suitor. Kenyan suitor can't do that. So therefore, if this had been a regular Kenyan Bari, so then it wouldn't work. He can't say, I want this IU that's owed to me, I'm giving it over to so-and-so to be able to collect it. It wouldn't work with a Kenyan suitor. It only works here because it's a matnas shliv meira, and it does work for a matnas shliv meira. So we're assuming, the base medrash of Rav says the name of Rav, that the understanding here is that we're going into this guy's head. It's an umdana. And we're saying the reason why he did both, the matnas shliv meira and the matnas bari, is because he wanted him to have the strength of both. Ah, so you see, Rav also holds from an umdana. Shmuel doesn't. Shmuel says, lo yadana, ma yidimba, I don't know what to do over here. Is the Kenyan canceling out the matnas shliv meira or not? Shmuel says, because maybe by writing the shtar, doing the Kenyan Suder and incorporating it into the shtar, he's essentially saying, I don't want this to be a matnas shliv meira. I changed my mind. But now it only goes into effect after death. But a shtar can't go into effect after death. So therefore, that's Shmuel's understanding. Bottom line is, we clearly see that Rav also holds from Umdana. So we turn to Nunvov Amud Aleph. And we say, in fact, Elo Tarvayu, both Rav and Rav Nosson, both of them, Asli Basur Blim, they both hold from Umdana. Again, we don't know which one, therefore, is passing like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So, Mandi Yom Halacha, Shapir, the one who says that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so everything works out very, very well, because they both hold Umdana. So whether it's Rav or Rav Nosson, they hold Umdana, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds Umdana, the Tanakhama doesn't hold Umdana, very good. So whoever that opinion is, very good. Either Rav or Rav Nosson, they both hold Umdana, so that opinion certainly goes like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. No, but the other one, Mandi Amar Ein Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azariah, we pass like the Chachamim. How come? They also hold Umdana, so why don't they pass like Rav Elazar ben Azariah? So they say there's a different Umdana over here. Hochanamni Umdan Daitu. Yes, there's an Umdana over here that Rav Elazar ben Azariah is wrong in his Umdana, and the Tanakhama is right in the Umdana. Why is that? You're saying, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that the Umdana is that he's only giving it over at the time of the Nisuin, and he's not giving over the Tosefes Ksuba before the Nisuin. So the Tanakhama disagrees. The Tanakhama says the Umdana is Mishum Ikruve Daitahu, Vaha Ikruvad Le Daita. The whole purpose of being the Tosefes Ksuba is to cause love, is to show how much he loves her. So that's already accomplished. And therefore, if it's already accomplished by the Erisin, so therefore, the Umdana is that he meant to give it over. So while they, Rav Nosson and Rav, both hold from Umdana, they're arguing what the Umdana is over here. One of them says the Umdana is exactly like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that he didn't intend to give it over until the Nisuin. And the other one says, no, the Umdana is like the Tanakhama, that he wants to show how much he loves her. And he demonstrates that by putting in the Tosefes Ksuba at the time of the Erisin. And therefore, at the time of the Erisin is when the Umdana says that he meant to give it over. And Rachmon al-Salam, if he dies, the woman is allowed to go and collect it. So this understands the machlokis between Rav and Rav Nosson. Now, Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kara, the Bachet's words Korah, which elsewhere we've said that he was an expert in Psukim. So Rabbi Chanina, the expert in Psukim, said over, was sitting in front of Kamei de Rav Yanai, the Kamar, and he said the following, Halacha Kari Elazar ben Azariah. He said, we paskin like Elazar ben Azariah, that the Tosefes Ksuba is only able to be collected after Nisuin, but not after Erisin. The base Ksuba, the Mona Messiah, that's collected in Erisin, but the Tosefes Ksuba is only collected if the marriage went through and there was Nisuin. So Rav Yanai says, take it out of sight. Amalei, puk kri korach libra. Go and take your psukim and read them outside. In other words, ain halacha kri Elazar ben Azariah. You're wrong. We don't paskin like Elazar ben Azariah. We have a whole bunch of other amarayim coming into paskin over here. Amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu. Now Rabbeinu here, Rashi says, means Rav. Tosus doesn't like this. And Tosus says, so then you bring a proof from here. So since the Gemara didn't bring that, the Rabbeinu Hainu Rebbe. So this is the normal Rabbeinu is Rav Yehuda Nasi. And Tosfos says that this Rav Yitzchak bar Radimi is one of the earlier Amorayim. He's one of the Kadmonim, who was a Talmud of Rebbe. As we learn in the Gemara in Shabbos in Perikira, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Radimi, Pamachas Nechnasti Achar Rebbe Leveis HaMechotz. Voyor Rabo Shorab. And he was the Rebbe of Rav, as Tosus points out from various places in Shas. Okay, so in any event, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Radimi says the name of Rabbeinu, either Rav according to Rashi, Rebbe according to Tosfos, Halacha Kari Elazar ben Azariah. We pass like Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kari Elazar ben Azariah. He also says Halacha Kari Elazar ben Azariah, but that's Rav Nachman saying the name of Shmuel. He himself, the Rav Nachman today, he himself, Amar Ein Halacha Kari Elazar ben Azariah. I personally disagree with my Rebbe Shmuel. Talmud is allowed to disagree with his Rebbe when he reaches a certain stage of learning. So he says, I personally hold like Halacha is not like Kari Elazar ben Azariah. in the Tamid Chacham and Hardai, in Hardai, Mishmei Rav Nachman, they saw the name of Rav Nachman, Amrei Halachik Rulos of Nazariah. They did hold like Rulos of Nazariah. But Alpha gav the lot Rav Nachman Yomer, even though Rav Nachman said he cursed, called Dayan and the Doyen to Rulos of Nazariah, Hochi v'hochi tevi, he says you'd be cursed, and this will happen to you. In other words, not correct the pasuk like Rulos of Nazariah. Nevertheless, afilu hochi halacha Rulos of Nazariah. Nevertheless, the halacha does in fact get paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Gemara concludes and says, Halacha l'maisa, Rashi says, there's a lashon over here, Shekach nimnu v'gomru b'nei yeshiva, this is what they paskin, that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the woman can only collect the Tosefes Kesuba after Nisuin, but she does get the base Kesuba, the Mona Masayim, after the Erisim, but not the Tosefes Kesuba. Now, according to Elazar ben Azariah, who we just said we paskin like, Rovin asked the following shayla, boy, Rovin, okay, they had chuppah, so there is nisuin, but lo nivala. But they didn't have the consummation of the marriage yet, and the husband dies. So, mahu, in this situation, what is the halacha? Do we allow her to go collect the Tosefes Kesuba or not? Do we say chibas chuppah konet? It was the act of going into the chuppah. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said. That brings about the extra chibah that he would give over the presence of the Tosefes Kesuba to her. And it's not the relations, it's just the fact that they went into the chuppah. Or do we say no? When we say it was the Nisuin, it's Chibas Bia Kona. It's the fact that they're consummating the marriage that he gives it over to her. But until they consummated the marriage, he wasn't intending to give over to Tosefes Kesuba. That's Rabin's question. Tashma would bring a riot for the following. The Tony Rav Yosef in the following Brisa, Shelo Kosav Lo Elo Achibas Lailo Rishon. The Brisa says, according to Elazar ben Azariah, that the Tosefes Kesuba is given over because of Chibas Lailo Harishon, the love engendered on the first night of the marriage. Now, what does that mean? If you're telling me it's the chuppah, nothing to do with the relations, it's the chuppah that's kona, then we understand. Laila harishon, the first night, because who says that they're going to definitely have relations the first night? It sometimes happens that they don't. Because el yamer schibas bia kona, if you're telling me it's only the relations that acquires the Tosefes Kesuba for the woman, so then, bia b'laila rishon, isa, mikaba elach leisa, does it always occur that the bia rishon occurs on the first night? It never occurs afterwards? No, sometimes it doesn't occur on the first night. And therefore, it must mean over here that it's the chiba of the chuppah and not the chiba of the relations. Oh, that's how we want to answer, Rav Yosef says, this kasha that Ravin had asked. Some more questions. He says, wait a second. Then what are you telling me? It means chuppah, velamai chuppah, and chuppah belaila isa b'yomom lesa. So why did it say belaila harishon? Chibas laila rishon. Is a chuppah only at night? A chuppah be during the day too, right? You have a noon wedding on a Sunday afternoon. So chuppah belaila isa b'yomom lesa. It doesn't occur during the daytime. Rashi says, losha bistia. So how can you tell me over here that we're dealing only with a laila rishona? So the Gemara says, and according to you, l'taymech, bia b'layla isa b'yom alasa, and the bia then, if you're telling me it's bia, so that only occurs at night? After all, ha'ama rabba, im haya bayis b'vayis afel mutter. If you're in a darkened house, you close the shades, so then you're allowed to have relations during the day. It's improper to have relations in a lit room. The Chazal tell us because you could see mumim or blemishes in the spouse, and it could lead to chas v'shalom, not liking each other. So therefore, you're supposed to have relations at night or during the daytime, Rava says, in a dark house, especially if somebody's unable to control his urges. So therefore, neither one seems to work. So one says, no, that's not a problem. Hello, Kasha. We're just giving the most common. Orech arakumash b'lon, the bia b'layla. The vast majority of times, the bia will occur at night. Yes, technically it occurred during the day, but most of the time occurs at night. So one says, then chuppah nami lo kasha, then the same thing by chuppah as well. Given the stam chuppah lebia kaima, since the whole purpose of the chuppah is to allow them to consummate the marriage, so then orach ara kamash belon de balayla. So then the normal way is also that it would be at nighttime and not during the daytime. So therefore, neither of these two is a raya, and the fact that it said al chibas layla harishon can't be used to prove either it means the actual bia or does it just mean the chuppah. By Ravashi has the following shayla: nechtas lechuppah upirsanida. They had the chuppah, and then she became an Ida, so they couldn't have the relations. That seems to be the pshat in Rashi. Others disagree and say, no, she was pierced an Ida even before the chuppah, and you have what's called a chuppah snida. You're allowed to have the chuppah, even though the woman will not be able to consummate the marriage because she's an Ida, and there's a whole number of minor changes that we make in the chuppah, and obviously she can't do yichud afterwards. They should only do yichud when she's muteris to her husband. In any event, this chuppah snida clearly cannot be for bia purposes. So what's the halacha according to Elazar ben Azariah? If you're telling me imtim selomar chibas chuppah koneh, then it's just the chiba of the chuppah that is acquiring it. So That, does that mean chupa dechazil abir? Does it mean that it has to be a chupa that is capable of having relations from it, and only then is the chupa going to be kona for the woman that will serve as ksuba? And therefore, avu chupa de lo chazil abir, but a chupa that can't go and lead to relations, lo. Then we would say that that doesn't acquire the tosefes ksuba. Or do we say, no, odilma, lo shnar, it doesn't make any difference, it's the chuppah that does it, regardless of whether it could be or could not be leading to relations, and the Gemara doesn't answer this question and leaves it with a take. Gemara continues according to the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yehuda, my rotsa kosi lusulu chule, Rabbi Yehuda said that you can't ever have less than a mon of masayim, but if the woman is willing to accept less by saying his kabalti, so she could say, yes, it was a 200 kasuba, but she writes a note and says, I got 100, or that the ksuba was 100 for a amona, and she writes it out and says, I already got 50. And this way, the husband doesn't have to give her the full amount. So the Gemara starts and says, V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, the kosim shover. So it implies from here that Rabbi Yehuda allows a receipt to be written, that she writes him a receipt that I got 100 or I got 50 in the two respective cases, and therefore the receipt will negate what is stated that he owes her 200 or 100. So the receipt can be used to knock it down to 150. That implies that he allows receipts, but we see elsewhere what not. We learned in Bava Basra, in the Mishnah there, Bisha Parah Mitzas Chovo, Rav Yehuda Omer Yachlif, and only Rav Yossi Omer Yichtov Lo Shover. We see that Rav Yehuda doesn't allow a shover. He says it's too cumbersome. If the person can't get the document rewritten, so then he's going to have to hold on to that shover his entire lifetime. And as soon as he loses it, the guy can come along and say, hey, listen, I'm collecting the entire debt. Well, I paid you already. Well, I paid you half of it already. He says, well, show me your shover. So Rav Yehuda can say, I lost the shover. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, we don't allow shovers. He says, what you do is, if let's say it was a $1,000 loan, and he pays back $500, so Rav Yehuda would say, write a new document saying that it was originally a $1,000 loan, I paid back $500, and now it's $500 that was due from that point in time. Now, that's what Rav Yehuda says. We don't require or allow a shover. Rav Yossi Omer, you have to have a shover. No, write a receipt, and then hold on to it. So we see that Rav Yehuda doesn't allow a shover. So we have two answers over here. I'm Rav Yirmiyah, kishoshovar to mitocha. Yes, Rav Yehuda normally doesn't allow a shover, but over here, you're writing it into the ksuba. You're writing the ksuba was originally 200 for the basula or 100 for the almana. And he already gave her 100 or 50 respectively. So it's all written in the original ksuba. So there's no opportunity for it to be lost. So in this situation, Rav Yehuda allows it. Abai gives a different terence. Abai Omar. You could even say over here, no, they didn't do this because the Mishnah didn't say that. So they didn't write the shover into the ksuba. So, over there in Bava Basra, Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow a shover to be written because he actually paid back, in my case, the 500 of the original 1,000. And if he loses that shover, the guy can go collect the original 1,000 with the shtar that's there, a valid shtar. Everybody will testify it's an authentic shtar. So therefore, since he vadai pare, he actually paid it. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, we're not going to make him have to hold on to a shover the rest of his life, and therefore rewrite the document. Because dilma mirkas tvarta, you know what's going to happen? He's going to lose the shover, umafik le lishtara, and the guy is going to bring out the original document, v'hadr gavis in achrina. He's going to go collect it a second time. Because in that situation, he definitely paid it, so he'll collect twice. But here, in our situation, ocha, vada yavla, Rashi says, loshem bisnia, that did he really pay her? No, this whole thing is a charade. He didn't really pay her, and she's writing him, she wants to get married to him, even at the lower price, so she's writing, I already got 100, I already got 50, respectively, whether she's a basula or a ba'ula, and nilsu bi'almehi, the omelet. It's just a shenanigan. It's just words over here. And therefore, Natri. Therefore, he does, according to Rabbi Yehuda, have to hold on to the shover if he wants to not have to pay the full ksuba, because he really never paid it in the first place. And therefore, natri. If he went and has it, so then, at the time that he has to pay off the ksuba, the estate, or he divorces her, so then he'll bring forth the shover and say, listen, I only have to pay her 100 or 50, respectively. Ilo natri. And if he loses it, so it's his own fault. He caused himself to lose it, and he's not paying it twice. He never paid it the first time. So, if he has to pay it now, he caused the loss himself. No big deal. So that's why Rehuda allows it over here, but wouldn't allow it in Bava Basra. No, why didn't Rav Yirmiyah say like Abaye, and why didn't Abaye say like Rav Yirmiyah? So Bishlam Abaye lo mark Rav Yirmiyah. Abaye didn't say like Rav Yirmiyah, kishu shovar to mitocha, because that's not what the Mishnah said. Lo ketani shovar to mitocha. The Mishnah didn't say that. So therefore, he didn't like Rav Yirmiyah's explanation. No, but why didn't Rav Yirmiyah like Abaye? Ela Rav Yirmiyah, my time lo mark Abaye, because after all, it sounds like it's a pretty good argument that in Bava Basra, where he actually paid and he'd have to pay twice, we don't allow shover. But here, he didn't pay the first time. So if he's careful, he won't have to pay. And if he's not careful, then he'll have to pay one time. So why didn't Rav Yirmiyah like Abaye's teretz? Because he says, Gzeira, shover dehacha Atu Shover the Alma. We make a gzera. Since we never allow shovers, if we allow it over here, people may think you can allow it elsewhere. And therefore, across the board, we just say we don't allow a shover. Okay, still relatively early in time, so we'll go vaitim, as Hashem will have finished off Nun Vav and Aleph as well. Now, the Gemara says, Taimo de Kosula. We seem to say over here that it's only because they wrote something over here, either Shovarta Bitocha, or they wrote a Shover. They wrote a separate document. The implication is they have to write it. Avo Alpeh, if this was just that she verbally says, I'm being Meichel on the 100 or the 50, so that would not work. Lo, why not? Amai, why should writing it allow it to work, but saying it, which Rashi points out, if she were to just say it, the Havalei Tanoa Ba'alma, this would just be, so to say, a Tanai, and Lo Havi Tanoa, the Mas Dal Masha Kosha B'Torah, work, and a Tanai that goes against what the Torah says. You have to give a Ksuba, so therefore, the oral wouldn't work. Written does work, because it's a document, so the document can be, essentially, the person saying, I'm Meichel on my rights, but orally, it seems to be a Tanai that's Mas Dal Masha Kosha B'Torah, which doesn't work. So, why does this work? So the Gemara says, because it's a davar sheba mamonu, and monetary matters can even make a tanai that goes against the Torah. Where do we see this? Vishamina later reviewed the Amar, davar sheba mamonu to no kayim, a tanai that goes against the Torah does work for monetary matters, as we see from the following brice of the Tanya. If a man goes and says to a woman, Omeli, sho hareyat mekudeshesli, I want you to marry me, but with the following condition, amanas she'ein lich olai, on the condition that you don't make any requests for me for she'er, Kisus, the owner. We already had a discussion what share, kisus, and owner are. We'll just learn it nice and simple. Share means food, and kisus means the clothing, and owner means the right to have marital relations with me. So I'm marrying you, but you have no right to go and ask for food, clothing, or to have relations with me. So the man gave her a vadei kedushin, he gave her a ring, and he says, Harei mekudeshesli, with this tanai, to this tanai is masna masha kosa b'torah, harei zu mekudeshes, the woman is mekudeshes, utino abatel. But the three things that he absolved her from asking from him, they still are entitled to her. Sherek Susanona, she's entitled to, because he's going against what the Torah says. The Torah says you have to provide Sherek Susanona, and therefore the Tanai goes against Mashkos of the Torah, and it's Bato. That's the opinion of Tanakama Divi Rameir. And here we introduce Rav Yehuda's opinion, is what we're interested in. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, in regards to the monetary aspects, the share in the ksus, medavar shebemamo to no kayim, you're allowed to make a Tanai that goes against what is written in the Torah. Only in regards to the owner, which is not a financial matter, that the aspect is bato. So you clearly see, albeit a davish b'mamon, reviewed allows it to be even master against masha kosu b'torah. So the question is, now, why then, in the oral declaration, doesn't he allow it? If he holds davish b'mamon is allowed to go against masha kosu b'torah, so even though you're saying that the 200 to 100 is masha kosu b'torah, so in this situation, why wouldn't her oral declaration that she is absolving him of the 100 or 50, respectively, why wouldn't it work? So the Gemara says, because Ksuva Rabbi Yehuda, Ksuva de Rabbanan. Because he says, no, the whole Ksuva is de Rabbanan. This 200 to 100 is not de Araisa. Well, that should make it even better. So then why certainly shouldn't she be able to go and just orally say that I've received it? So the Gemara says, no, because V'chacham Masu Chizuk L'Devrayim Yosef Mishal Torah. The rabbis have to sometimes make their gzeros have teeth to them, because people are never going to be over a daraisa. Oh, this is a daraisa, I'll be very careful with it. So it doesn't need teeth sometimes. But the rabbanim, he says, it's only the rabbanim. And therefore, the rabbis have to institute teeth over here. And therefore, they said that an oral declaration cannot go against our rabbinical gzera that you have to give the ksuba of 200 and 100. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda over here says that it can't be an oral declaration, it has to be a written statement, a written document. So now we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda, in regards to a Durabbanan, won't allow an oral declaration to work because Chacham Asu Chizuk LeDevreim Yosef Mishal Torah. But that's not true, the Gemara says. Hari Peros Durabbanan, the right for the husband to have the Nisei Meluv of his wife, to him to get the benefit from the Peros, so she owns the field still, but he gets to take all the produce from the field, so that's a Din Durabbanan. That was Masakein by the Chachamim. They set it up. So in this situation, the law of do luhu rabbanu chizuk. Yet the rabbis didn't do this. What Rabbi Yehuda says that asu chizuk l'devrei yosef mishal Torah, because we see in the following Mishnah, which we're going to learn a little bit later in the Masechta, where it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer la'olam hu ocha peri peros. Even if he says that I'm giving up the peros, but the peros themselves are going to produce additional peros. So the field had grain that grew that year for $100. So he says I'm absolving myself for the right to that 100. So the wife takes that, and she buys more karka with it. And that additional karka, he has the right to those peros as well. Unless he specifically writes to her, which we'll see means even orally says to her, din udvarim ein li b'nechasayich, with your properties, ubeferosayim, and with the peros of them, ubeferos, perosayim, and with the subsequent peros to come as well. Adulam, forever, for all the different multiple generations that this will go on for, in terms of the produce, so I don't have any entitlement to it. So here, this is all the Rabbanan, and yet we see that even an oral declaration works. As we turn to Nunvav on the base, that this is an oral declaration. Makaimalon, my kosev, we learn over there in the Gemara, in our kosev, where it says, my, what does it mean, kosev? It means omer. It means that even if he says it. So you see that Rabbi Huda does allow an oral declaration to work, and they didn't make chizuk, the Chacham didn't make chizuk l'divrei m'yosh mishal Torah. So how do we answer that? So Amar Abaye says, La kol yesh suva. No, Chachamim do things only for a davar shchiach. They only make zeros for a davar shchiach, something that occurs regularly. So La kol yesh suva. Every woman has a suva. However, V'lo la kol yesh peros. Not every woman brings in a dunya. She brings in nechse maluk. And therefore, milsa de shchiacha, a regular recurring event, such as a suva, of the Barabbanu Chizuk. So therefore, the rabbi said, we don't allow you to go make an oral declaration to go against our rabbinical degree, because Chacham also Chizuk l'divrei m'yos mishal Torah. However, something that's not a Dover Shchiach, Milsa de lo Shchiacha, lo of the Barabbanu Chizuk. The rabbis did not make this additional takana. And therefore, in regards to the peros, Chazal allowed an oral declaration to work, as opposed to the base ksub itself. They didn't allow an oral declaration to work. That would be how Rabbi Yehuda would understand this. That's Abaye's Teretz. More questions is still, says, wait a second, I'll show you something that's a Dover Shliach, and yet the rabbis did allow an oral declaration to work. Hari Chamorim, the Shliach, Chamorim are like the truck drivers, the donkey drivers of those days, who would go bring produce from one city to another city to sell it. And yet, in that situation, where these are Amaratzim Chamorim, and they say that their stuff is Demai or their stuff is not Demai, so we believe them. And how come the Chacham didn't make Chizuk L'Divrayim? This is a Dover Shliach. The law of the Rabbanu Chizuk, and yet the rabbis didn't make a Chizuk L'Divrayim. Now, what is this? This is a Mishnah in Demai. It says over there in Demai, HaChamorim Shenichlus Liyah. You have two different donkey drivers that come into a city. Each of them has produce. Yomer Echad Mehem. And one of them says, Shali Chadosh. My stuff is Chadosh, which you can't eat right now. You have to wait till the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, when they would bring the Korban Omer. So today, if we don't have a base of English, so you have to wait till the end of the day. So he says, my stuff is Chadosh. You can't eat it right now. You can buy it, but you can't eat it right now. But his stuff is the good stuff. It's Yosha. You can go eat it right now. Or he says, Shali and Mesukah. My stuff, you have to take off Trumas and Mises from. Mishachaveirai Mesukah. His stuff already had Trumas and Mises taken from it. So, ain nemonim. The Tanakhama says we don't believe him. We're concerned over here that this is a quid pro quo. I'll go into this city and say, your stuff is good, my stuff's bad. People say, oh, he must be an Erelicha guy because he's admitting that his stuff is bad. And everybody bought from you. But really, you didn't do any of this stuff. Yours is really Chadosh or yours is really not Mesukah. And therefore, you're going to cheat them. And then the next city, you'll do it for me. So, the Tanakhama says we have to worry about this quid pro quo, this trickery over here, this aroma, and ain nemonim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Omer Ne'amanim. Rabbi Yehuda says, we do believe them over here. But if Rabbi Yehuda says that the Chacham did a Chizuk L'Divrayim, so we shouldn't believe them over here. So Abaye, this negates your answer that by a Dover Shchiach they made a Chizuk L'Divrayim, but by a Dover the Lo Shchiacha, Lo Dubar Rabbanu Chizuk. Here, this is a Dover Shchiach. So how come the rabbis didn't make a Chizuk L'Divrayim? So Abaye says, no, that's a simple answer. Omer Abaye, Vadai D'Divrayim. When you're dealing with a Vadai D'Rabbanan, this is absolutely something for certain that we know. Of the Rabbanu Chizuk. Then the rabbis made Chizuk L'Divrayim. So by the Ksuba, which is a Vadai D'Rabbanan, so we don't allow an oral declaration. The rabbis made Chizuk L'Divrayim. We only allow a document to be written. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And that's why it had to be Vedavka, a document. However, in Demai by definition is a Sofik. Did they or did they not take off the Amaratzim? Most of them did. So Sofik did D'Divrayim. And it's only a D'Rabbanan that you have to take off Demai. Of the Demai, you have to take off Maiser Rishon again, and Trumas Maiser. So Sofik did D'Divrayim. The rabbi said, Lo of du Rabbanan Chizuk. The rabbi said, you don't have to do Chizuk L'Divrayim in a Sofik D'Rabbanan situation. Demai is like a Sofik. And therefore, the rabbis didn't go that far. And finally, Rava concludes, and he says a similar idea. Rava Mar, B'Demai Hekel. No. In general, even by Sofik D'Divrayim, he's not going as far as Abaye, he'd say that every Sofik D'Divrayim, law of the Rabbanu Chizuk. In general, they made a Chizuk L'Divrayim for a Rabbanan or even a Sofik D'Rabbanan, with the one exception being Demai. B'Demai Hekela, because the vast majority of Amaratzim actually took off Demai, took off Trumas and Maisis from it. And therefore, for this very slight chance that a small percentage of the Ratzim didn't take off the Maestros, so we're not going to be make a Chizuk L'Divrayim. That concludes Baruch Shem. We're ahead. I already won Omud, and with this we conclude today's shiur.